Ja, der nächste Vortrag wird in Englisch sein, deswegen werde ich jetzt erstmal transparent auf Englisch umswitchen. Ja, ich hoffe, alle Anwesenden verstehen Englisch soweit. Ja, wenn nicht, wenn dann Fragen sind, übersetze ich die gern. Ja. Kein Problem. Bitte? Well, our next talk is from Timo Saarinen. I'm very, very happy to see him here today. He's the original author of Dovecot, a very nice, secure IMAP mail server, and probably also known, at least for some people, for IRC, the IRC client. And well, I'm very interested in what you will bring to us today. So I would say, let's get started. Over to you.
Thank you. So yeah, like he said, I started Dovecot something like 10 years ago, a little bit over 10 years ago. It's been really fun, but of course, 10 years is a long time. It would be nice to try something else for a change on top of Dovecot, of course. That's why I started Dovecot company. Hopefully, the idea is that I will keep developing Dovecot, but maybe I won't have to do everything by myself. So that would be nice in future. And of course, the kind of annoying thing is that pretty much nobody wants to develop mail servers for free, so have to hire people, have to get some money somehow. Anyway, this talk is about Dovecot, so first some quick Dovecot introduction, then I'll just talk about a bunch of random smaller things. Hopefully you will find something new or interesting in there, and finally about a really cheap and easy way to create multi-master Dovecot replicated setup. So what's Dovecot? I started it as trying to create the perfect IMAP server possible. And of course, people wanted also PUP3, so I had to add PUP3. And nowadays it can also deliver mails and has a sieve filtering language, which is pretty much entirely done by Stefan Bosch, who is kind of special in a way that he's one of the few people who started developing Dovecot for free. So that's awesome. And I have no plans right now, at least, well, hopefully not ever, to create yet another SMTP server, except I started thinking about SMTP submission server because it would be nice to kind of get this easy way to set up SMTP submission in front of an actual real MTA that could support all these new great mobile extensions, these Lemonade extensions that Postfix or Exim doesn't yet support. So Dovecot is trying to be really high performance. Its CPU usage is usually just about zero, so I've tried to mainly optimize for disk I/O because usually it seems that disk I/O is the first bottleneck. And the next seems to be memory. Hopefully Dovecot 2.3 will have some new great features to reduce memory usage even more than now. But for now, it's good enough anyway. So the code is really modular. I try to make everything so that everything should be really configurable. You should be able to do pretty much anything in any kind of configuration you want. And the plugins can also do quite a lot of stuff. Like all these ACLs are completely done by plugins, Quota is done by plugins, and all kinds of companies want different kinds of plugins to do different stuff, like authentication for the special authentication server and so on. So idea is so that you wouldn't have to actually patch Dovecot, you could just create a plugin for pretty much anything you want. I try to make it administrator friendly. All the error messages are actually logged and they are really good. They usually even tell you exactly how to fix the error, or at least if you copy and paste the error message and ask it about it in Dovecot mailing list, you should be able to get an answer based on just that error message. And without first having to, people first having to ask, like, okay, so what exactly are you doing? What is blah, 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 just anything. You should be able to easily figure out from error message what the solution is. And if there's some corruption stuff, then Dovecot hopefully will fix that without manually having to run any kind of fixing command or something. So I've tried to make Dovecot work really well with postfix, because I kind of like postfix. Nowadays it's already at the stage where postfix doesn't really have to know about any users at all. You can configure SMTP authentication so that it authenticates users against Dovecot, and mail delivery can be done through LMTP, so postfix doesn't need to know where the mails are stored. It can just tell Dovecot to deliver the mails. And for the RCPT2 stage, user lookups, does this user exist? There's nowadays also this TCP service that you can tell postfix that, okay, look up the users through TCP service from Dovecot OS. And also a really new feature is this RCPT2 stage quota rejection. So if the user is already over quota and someone tries to send a mail, and you know there's the RCPT2 user blah blah, and then it immediately says no, reject, that user is over quota, so no more any quota bounces or anything like that. So only thing that really needs to be configured about users to postfix nowadays is aliases. It would be nice maybe to have put that also through Dovecot, but Dovecot doesn't really know about aliases, so I don't know if it's any use in even trying to do that. So like I said, Dovecot logs all the error messages. All the errors that Dovecot logs about, they are actual errors. You really shouldn't be getting any errors at all. If you are getting something, it's a misconfiguration, or maybe you have a high server load, or maybe it's a Dovecot bug. In any case, it's something that you probably should do something about. And if you are running the latest Dovecot version and you keep getting some errors, it would be nice. I mean, if it's a Dovecot bug, it would be nice for you to tell me. I may not nowadays have a lot of time to fix everything, but I'd still like to know about all kinds of errors that people get, even if they are not really causing any trouble. Like, I know there's some really big installations where people are getting a ton of errors all the time, but the admins don't really care because they are not getting any complaints. But yeah. Usually those types of things, I mean, those errors with something like permission errors because someone has changed some user, some directory owned by root or stuff like that, and yeah. This is a useful plugin because at least in big installations, or I don't know, maybe everywhere, people keep thinking that, why did you lose my emails? I definitely didn't delete anything, and it's not my fault, it's your fault. And every once in a while people ask about it in Dovecot mailing list that, okay, my users are complaining about this. So what do I tell them? Okay, you really have to first enable this mail log plugin, and after mail log plugin you will get clear log lines about what the user is doing. And so you can tell the users that, okay, no, at this time you logged in from this IP address and you deleted the mail. Looks like you created a new PUP3 account to some email client and it downloaded and deleted everything, for example. IMAP actually has a somewhat complicated message deletion, first copying the trash, then marking the message deleted, then expunging it, then sometimes later actually deleting the message from trash and then once more expunging. So it's probably like totally 5 lines for the one final deletion operation. Nowadays, Dovecot has session IDs in log files. Each connection has a unique ID. It's some like 10 characters long string that is unique for something like 9 years. And you can configure Dovecot so that all of the log lines, or maybe not all, but hopefully all in the future and pretty much all right now, have this session ID. So, and it also passes through Dovecot proxies. So when the user logs in first through proxy, it gets the session ID and the proxy logs that, okay, started logging, started proxying to this backend server, and it contains the session ID, and then the backend server logs in, and all of the, like, for example, if you have enabled authentication debugging, all of those debugging lines contain the session ID for that user or for that connection. And then you can also configure the IMAP POP3 processes. Oops, it's going, not, didn't do what I thought. Okay, yeah, the malloc prefix. By default, it doesn't include the session, but you can put it there. So if there's any error messages and stuff, you can also see that, okay, this session, the user logged in from this IP address at this time and so on. So this is helpful in debugging. This is why is Dovecot slow? Okay, usually it's not because of CPU usage. Usually Dovecot uses just about 0 CPU. Sometimes maybe more. The only time I've actually noticed any problems with CPU usage is when you have something like 10 or 20,000 IMAP processes there, and the Dovecot master process is, because it's by default, Dovecot is configured as securely as possible, not for high performance, but for security. So the Dovecot master process keeps forking new IMAP processes and using almost 100% CPU. So that's not very good. But you can configure Dovecot so that it doesn't keep forking new IMAP processes and so on. But yeah, usually not the problem isn't CPU. Memory usage might become a problem. The more IMAP connections you have, the more memory it uses. Right now, it seems like each IMAP connection maybe takes 1 megabyte of memory. I'm really hoping to. With IMAP, the problem is that the IMAP clients are often creating these idle IMAP connections, maybe more than one. Maybe, I think Thunderbird, if you open 5 folders, it creates 5 connections, and each one starts the IMAP idle command, and they just wait there eating 5 megabytes forever, even if they are not doing anything. So in future, I'm hoping that these connections could be kind of moved to a separate idle process, which isn't using much memory. But that's hopefully maybe in a year. Disk I/O is usually the bottleneck, I think. First, quick solution, if you have way too much disk I/O, put the index files to SSD disk. That should help a lot, what I've heard. There's nowadays also this stats plugin where you can, where Dovecot can track even on IMAP command level that, okay, this command took this much CPU and created this much disk I/O. And you can see that, okay, there's, for example, this script that you can download. It kind of works as a top, but you can say that, okay, show me the highest users who are using the most disk I/O right now. Oh, by the way, I forgot to say, these slides are already in this dovecot.org/talks web page, so you can download this and get the URLs and everything from there. So which mailbox format to use? If you really want reliability, MailDir is pretty much indestructible. You can do anything and it just doesn't break. No message, no flags are lost, and even if you corrupt the files, they are still kind of valid files. You can read the mail, the uncorrupted parts of the mail at least, even if some of it is corrupted. But MailDir is pretty slow because it keeps renaming files. Every time you change a message flag, it renames the file. So if you want more performance, MDBox and SDBox formats are pretty nice. I'm using those nowadays. Okay. Right, so SDBox, single DBox, the idea is that one file, one email. With MDBox, one file can have multiple emails. MDBox, I think it's usually nowadays in file systems, MDBox is better performance, but it's even more complex, so it's maybe a little bit annoying because when messages are deleted, they are only marked as deleted in MDBox. You have to run a nightly script to actually delete or actually free the disk space used by deleted emails. But I think MDBox is probably still the highest performance mailbox format for Dovecot. And okay, so MDBox and SDBox, they can get corrupted much more easily than MailDir. But of course, in normal operations, it shouldn't corrupt. It's a bug if it gets corrupted, or maybe some hardware problem or something. But even if it does get corrupted, Dovecot is really good at trying to fix the problem. And it fixes it by whenever Dovecot notices that, okay, there's a corruption in this MDBox file, it always takes a backup of the file and then fixes it in a way that it thinks is the best. So even if the fixing goes wrong, you still have the original file available that you can fix manually. I don't think anyone has so far had to do it. I think MDBox is something like, what, 2-3 years old, something, and people have been using it, and I haven't really heard of anyone really having any actual really bad corruption problems or anything. Also, if you want single instance storage for attachments, so the attachment that gets the 100 megabyte attachment that gets sent to 1,000 people, it gets stored only once, you can enable that also for MDBox and SDBox formats. So not for MailDir. Dovecot supports several different full-text search indexes. By default, it doesn't use anything. So if you try to search something from message bodies, it actually has to read through all the emails and try to search for the text. So it can be slow. But well, with MDBox format, it's pretty fast actually, because you have only a few big files. So even with a lot of mails, it's usually pretty fast. But anyway, full text search indexes make the searches pretty much instantaneous. There's nowadays two backends supported. Lucene C library. The good thing is that it doesn't require anything really. You just configure Lucene, configure Dovecot that, okay, use Lucene, and it just works. It creates the Lucene index files, and it doesn't need any kind of server or anything. It just works. The only problem is that it's the C Lucene library, it's pretty old. I'm not sure, something like maybe 5 years old or maybe more. Anyway, So there's some Lucene improvements that are not there. So then there's the Solr server. Solr is also using Lucene as the backend. It's a huge, big Java process, which is, I think it's kind of annoying to install a huge, big Java process for email servers. But if you don't have a problem with that, or if you, maybe you can create, you don't have to put the Solr server to Dovecot server. You can create a separate Solr indexing server, maybe even a Solr cluster or something, and use that. So Solr uses really up-to-date Lucene, so that's good also. Dovecot also had its own full-text search engine, Squat, but I'm not really even trying to fix its bugs anymore. It's kind of annoying and slow, and I don't really like it. But there's also possibilities to add more backends. It's really easy. I think once I almost added this, was it Xapion, for example? I think it's only a couple of days of coding if you wanted to use something else. Mailboxes are kind of, or folders. I'm of course the mailboxes, so I call them mailbox. These are kind of annoying because traditionally, I'm a protocol itself. It only has inbox. Everything else is whatever the client creates. There's of course these sent trash drafts junk folders that pretty much all the clients create, and pretty much all the clients use different names for those. So if you try to use multiple IMAP clients, you have probably like sent items, sent messages, sent, and then localized versions of that in different languages and so on. So that's kind of annoying. Gmail created this IMAP special use extension, which kind of tags to those mailboxes by saying that, okay, this is the sent folder. It doesn't matter what the name actually is, but it has this sent flag. And some clients are already starting to use this, iPads, iPhones, and looks like the next Outlook also supports it, and hopefully more and more in future. So if you're creating a Dovecot server, you really should configure the special use folders there. Then the main problem is still how to make the legacy clients work who don't understand the special use. That's kind of a problem, and it seems to be that whenever I create a new server, whenever I'm talking to different customers, they have to decide, we have to decide based on their old server, and everyone seems to want to do it a little bit differently, use a little bit different names. There's nowadays also Dovecot has this alias plugin that you can say that, okay, sent and sent messages, they are actually the same folder, and physically it's just a symlink in the file system. It's still annoying because the clients will, if you have that configured, the client will still see two sent folders, but the idea is that you can save mails to either one of those sent folders and it gets saved to both of them. The annoying thing is, of course, that many clients download all the mails that they see, so they have to download twice. They download from sent and they download from sent messages. So it's not a perfect solution, but it's one solution that you can use. Then related to this, you can automatically create, tell Dovecot to automatically create this mailbox and automatically subscribe to this mailbox. But if that's a good idea, I don't know, depends on everything. Dovecot has these virtual mailboxes also. They consist of real mailboxes, of course. So you can create virtual mailboxes like all messages, which actually has all the messages from all of your folders. and this allows, if you can create like a customized webmail where you can have a field that search from all the folders, and that webmail will actually select this virtual all mailbox from Dovecot and give the search results from that. So that makes it at least easy for custom webmails. For normal IMAP clients, it's probably just annoying because again, the clients will see this, okay, you have this all folder, and the clients will just download all the mails yet again. So not good for that. So, but you can kind of make these virtual namespaces hidden, so the clients won't, normal clients won't normally see them. But if you have a webmail that supports it, then that can use it. And you can also, the virtual mailboxes, they are basically an IMAP search. You can configure that, okay, in these folders, like inbox and work slash everything under work, from these folders, search messages that are, for example, unseen or have some subject or pretty much anything. And Dovecot creates that and makes it a simple, one normal looking mailbox. With this, the idea was also that you could create kind of these Gmail-like views where you have like all the mails that I received and then my replies to them from sent folder and then so on. It pretty much works, but some slight problems with updating still. Lazy Expunge plugin, this allows users to undelete mails by themselves. Again, this probably should be some hidden namespace so normal clients don't actually see it, but your webmail could provide you with access like button that show me all the deleted mails that I have, and then it lists all the deleted mails, and then you can click undelete, undelete, undelete. And you can configure this so that it doesn't affect quota, or you can configure it so that it automatically keeps, for example, maximum of 100 megabytes of mails in there and automatically deletes those mails so that it never goes above 100 megabytes. Dove ADM is a really nice tool. For example, you can use it to debug stuff or create scripts or all kinds of stuff. It has, for example, this fetch command that you can use to tell Dovecot to read mails, fetch the message body or fetch the message subject or flags or something like that. And you can give it a search query, search messages from these mailboxes using these rules and so on. And it just returns them. You can delete mails, expunge mails, copy mails, move mails, do all kinds of stuff. Dove ADM import, it's very similar to Dove ADM copy, except it instead of copying within one user, you can copy mails from someone else's mailbox or from a backup that you created. And yeah, this is much more kind of correct way to restore backups than actually manually copying the files all over the place. With Mailder, it's fine, but with Dbox, it's not really going to work all that great unless you use Dove ADM import. And Dove ADM import also takes the same kind of search query that all the other commands say, that you can only restore mails from, for example, this mailbox and only the mails from last week or something. Dove ADM exec, this is kind of a new command. Previously, you have to actually execute the IMAP command directly, which still works, but this just makes it a little bit easier. So with this, you can execute IMAP and PUP3 processes, connections from command line. So I use this a lot for debugging and testing and so on, but it can also be useful for scripting. Like here's a nice script which you can use to mark some messages seen, messages from user one at domain. It finds them and then marks them with seen flag and logs out. Of course, it would be nicer if there was DAVADM command directly to set messages, message flags, but yeah, doesn't exist yet. Nobody, I don't know if it's very useful. For debugging, DAVADM dump is kind of nice command. Dovecat has all kinds of index files, and they are binary, so you don't really understand what's in them unless you use DAVADM dump, and then it gives you a really human readable or developer readable output that you can look. There's also this IMAP compress extension that uses zlib to compress the message stream, so that can be a little bit difficult to understand unless you decode it. So there's DAVADM dump can also decode the compressed stream, and so you can understand that. Desync is a really nice tool. Whenever you are thinking about how do I move my emails from here to there, just use desync. It's always the answer nowadays. Doesn't matter if you are moving from some other IMAP server or PUP3 server, or if you want to, while you are moving or copying the messages, maybe you want to change the mailbox format from MailDir to SDBox, or maybe you are just moving it between different file systems or anything. Always just use desync. It does the moving. You can do the moving with zero downtime, and it doesn't lose any metadata, all the IMAP UIDs, everything. If you are migrating from another IMAP server, it preserves all the IMAP UIDs, PUP3 UIDs, and everything. So hopefully the clients won't even notice that you migrated from other server to Dovecat, except hopefully things will work faster. So replication. There's a bunch of different ways that people have been replicating. Block device replication. Some people do it with Dovecat. It works. They have sometimes some problems with it because things like, okay, if the file system gets corrupted, then the corruption gets replicated, so that's not very nice. And then other thing is that you can use either asynchronous replication. That means if the primary server dies in the middle, then you just lost some data that was in the middle of getting transferred. And if you use synchronous replication, then it's kind of slow unless the servers are really close to each other. But yeah, it works still. There's also cluster file systems. I can't really recommend any cluster file system. I haven't heard of any yet that would be fast and wouldn't cause Dovecat to corrupt index files. It seems that it's always they're really slow and they corrupt Dovecat files. So that's not good. There's also object storage, which is kind of a cluster file system, but simpler, so it's much more easier for the server or the object storage developers to make it work well. Often they have somewhat high latency, and this is some one of the commercial things that I'm hoping that our company is going to soon sell, because it seems that only the enterprises really need object storage, so hopefully they will pay for it and maybe I can hire more people. But now I'm talking about desync replication. desync. Okay, so desync was already used, can already be used for migration. So it can, it works because it's basically replicating. It does, it uses this kind of two-way merging of mailboxes. So it means that you can have one mailbox here, another here, and you can do all kinds of changes to both of them, deliver new mails, delete mails, create new mailboxes, do anything, and then at some point in time you run desync, and desync sends the changes to both sides and merges the changes in a way that nothing gets actually lost. And the result is that both sides are identical. This is also why you can do all these migrations and everything with zero downtime, because you can first migrate everything with desync, and you can keep delivering mails to old server, new server at the same time. And then at some point, you just stop delivering mails to old server and you run desync one more time, and everything is merged and no data got lost, and there was pretty much no downtime. Only downtime is that you have to, of course, kill the connections to the old server if some IMAP clients was still connected there. So there's this replication process nowadays. The replication process runs desync asynchronously I'll talk about it later. Desync can work over SSH connections. It can actually run desync over SSH. So you don't necessarily need to open any ports or anything. But it's a little bit slow to start a new SSH command every time you change the message flag. It works. We run it for my company mails, run it for a year or something, and it works just fine. But yeah, for tens of thousands of people, probably not a good idea. But TCP connections, or with or without SSL, that's really fast. Idea is that, okay, if you want really cheap desync replicated Dovecot cluster, you just buy two cheap servers, cheap virtual servers from completely different companies, maybe in different continents, and you can use both of them or either of them, and desync keeps everything replicated and everything is cheap and easy to do. Here's a nice picture about how this works. There's a data center in Helsinki and in Tokyo, and you can put Dovecot in two of them, and it shows like the emails can come in from either one of those data centers, and desync replicates them. The IMAP user can be connected to either one of them, except it would be better if it's usually going to one of those. But okay, more about it later. So efficiency. Dovecot 2.2, it has a great new desync code. It can do stateful syncing. The old desync was that it had to send, whenever some mailbox changed, it had to send everything, all the changes, or some information about all the messages, like the IMAP UID and global UID and stuff like that, about all the messages in the mailbox. But okay, in 2.2, the replication can remember some state. So if you change one message flag, it only sends data about that one message, that okay, this flag changed and nothing else. And it's really fast and doesn't take almost any network traffic. So that's good. And once in a while, still, just in case there's something, some bug or something, some problem, desync or the replication process, it decides that okay, or you can configure that, run the full sync that makes sure that everything is completely replicated. Run full sync, for example, once every day or once every week or something for each user. The replication process, because it's asynchronous, stuff can get queued in there, so there has to be some kind of priority things there. So new mails are of course the most important to get replicated, so new mails always get the highest priority, and after that, if there's stuff like deleting mails or changing flags, then after that they get replicated, or those users that have some that kind of changes. Another picture showing how the replication works internally. I'll just quickly say something about it. Okay, so whenever there's some change, for example, new email gets delivered by LDA or LMTP, it gets saved. And at the same time, this replication plugin sees that, okay, change happened. It sends a notification to replication process that this user had a new email, mark this user that it's a high priority user. This user needs to be replicated as soon as possible. And the replication server says that, okay, and it then tries to do that, and at some point in time, it really actually does that. Actually, it's possible also to configure the replication in a way that it's synchronous for new emails, not necessarily for everything, but you can say that, for example, new mail comes in through LMTP, and LMTP, you send the data commands, you send the email, and you can configure Dovecot so that the data command doesn't reply OK until the mail has been replicated to the other server. So that, of course, adds latency. IMAP protocol makes this a little bit difficult, because IMAP protocol has these UID numbers, and if you get two new emails at the same time to two different servers, they get the same UID, then there's a conflict because the IMAP client doesn't, Dovecot doesn't know which mails the IMAP clients have seen, so Dovecot has to renumber those UIDs if it sees this kind of conflicts, so that the client doesn't accidentally think that, okay, so that client sees only, if client doesn't see only one of those two new emails. So UID renumbering, it also means that the clients may have to re-download mails that they already have downloaded, so that's not good. So it would be better if the IMAP clients and new mails would go through the same server, usually. It's not required, but it would be kind of better to make sure that these UID renumberings don't happen. But for example, my own emails, they go in through two different servers, and I'm actively using two different servers just to test that stuff still works fine, and it usually works just fine. But for kind of bigger installations, I would configure it in a way that, okay, both servers are still used, but different users, like users have a primary backend and secondary backend, and usually users go to the primary backend, and only if the primary is down, then it would go to secondary. You can do this with Dovecot proxying or Dovecot directors. Yeah, and this shows load balancing. Okay, if you have if the primary and secondary server are in the same data center, then yeah, load balancer works. But if they are in completely different places, maybe you can use multiple DNS records. DNSA records multiple IP addresses. Unfortunately, I don't think many clients support it that well. It would be really nice if at some point in future, maybe Desync will change this for clients. Maybe at some point the clients will try, like web browsers nowadays try that. Okay, first try this IP, and if that doesn't work, then try the second IP. But for now, that doesn't really work that well. You could, I guess, try to do, well, with low TTL, you can, of course, quickly somewhat quickly update the A records that if one of them is down, then take away the other one. Or you can also do kind of that, okay, if the client is coming in from America, then give the American IP address, otherwise give the European IP address or stuff like that. So the in normal operation, yeah, you can use Dovecot proxy or director, so that when whichever backend happens to get the or the whichever proxy happens to get the connection, it sees that okay, is it going to my backend, and if it goes to my backend, then it just redirects it there, and otherwise it directs it to the completely different, far away Dovecot server. That's about it. Questions?
I set up two Dovecot servers.
For the stream.
If I set up two Dovecot servers on different server machines and create only one account on the one server and a different account on the different server, then use the desync for synchronization. Can I log in with both clients to the first server afterwards, and also the user accounts are existing on the first server and on the second server, or only the mails itself synchronized?
You can log into either one of them. You can configure it in many different ways, but it would be better if. I mean, they are more or less identical servers in any case. So you could connect to either one of those servers, and it will work. But because of all the potential problems with UID conflicts and UID renumbering stuff, it would be better if usually you go only to the kind of pick that this user is in this server and go there. That's better, but not required.
Hi, Timo. You mentioned that it's possible to have a distributed Dovecot set up on an object storage. Are you aware of installation using Ceph under Dovecot?
Ceph, we have talked to Ceph people, but currently doesn't support it.
Okay. Second question. Would it be insane to think about using desync to synchronize my laptop with my IMAP server like I do with offline IMAP?
That's possible. That's one of the use cases I originally thought about using desync back when I first created it. I don't know if anyone is actually doing it, but possible, yes. And some other related, actually kind of interesting ways I have been thinking about the new desync. It would, with a little bit more modifications, you could actually sync mails through USB USB sticks, for example. Like some people would be going to sailing around the world and they don't really have any internet. So when they come to harbor, they would get the USB stick and kind of move the mails through it.
Last question. You only showed pictures with two replicated servers. Can I do it with three or four replicated with desync?
The replication process right now, it supports only one replica, but desync itself, it doesn't limit it. So in future, yes, it would be possible to have more than two, but right now it's a little bit difficult to actually do that.
Can I use desync to migrate mail from a non-Dovecot server to another non-Dovecot server?
Maybe it's, or actually right now, no, but kind of in theory, maybe. The one problem with migrating to another IMAP server is that IMAP protocol doesn't allow saying that save this mail using this UID or set this UID validity to this mailbox. So you could run desync once, but you couldn't, probably couldn't really run it like continuously.
Any further questions?
Okay.
We are actually using Dovecot in a Dovecot Director cluster with NFS version 4 and using SDBox. So you said the indexes, or it's documented online that the indexes in SDBox are not, cannot be repaired from the mail data in SDBox. So are there any plans or ideas what could be done if the indexes get corrupted, since we already if we have some flappings of servers or something like that, and indexes might get corrupted on NFS or caused by NFS, then it is there some way to store the indexes somewhere else, or for a backup copy? Or
well, backups would of course be nice, but it's not that bad. I mean, mainly the problem is that with SDBox especially, the only problem, if you lose indexes, you lose message flags. Dovecot can still regenerate the indexes, but you just don't have it. You have lost all the scene flags and everything else. But Dovecot also, with SDBox and MDBox, it creates, okay, so you have the normal Dovecot index and Dovecot index log files, but it also creates this Dovecot index backup files once in a while. So if the main Dovecot index file gets corrupted, maybe you still have a working Dovecot index backup file. And when Dovecot tries to repair the indexes, it reads the backup file and tries to preserve as much flags and other data as possible. But yeah, you could maybe, for example, just if you don't want to backup everything, just backup those Dovecot index backup files, for example. I guess maybe in future, maybe it could be possible to, I don't know, directly store the backup files to a completely different file system or something. Might be a good idea. Should be easy to implement. Few lines of code, I think. If someone really wants, then yeah.
Okay. Is there a possibility to sync IMAP account, where I only have an IMAP account, like a user and then password, to a Dovecot server where I am admin?
Yes, desync.
Desync is possible to move, but the IMAP server is not a Dovecot server.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Okay. Desync can use normal IMAP and PUP3 protocols to copy the mails. There was a link for in wiki migration, desync desync migration. But okay, so I'll be here anyway this whole day, and I'll be happy to answer any Dovecot questions about anything. I don't have any special plans, I guess, today. So if you want to meet me and talk to me, I don't know, maybe send me an email or something. And I guess I'll, be somewhere around here anyway.
So thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Please give it a big hand. Thank you very much.